From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone, and a big Happy New Year. Can't believe it's 2025. It seemed like it was yesterday that it was 2000, but I don't want to talk too much about that because then it'll be showing my age. All right. Welcome to another episode of the show where we dive into stories that inspire change and empower us all. And this one will surely do that. And if you missed part of the show, you can hop on over to my Apple podcast page and you can listen there. And if the show resonates with you or someone that you know, please share it. And I'm so grateful for your reviews, so please keep them coming. All right, so what if the key to happiness wasn't something that you found alone, but something you built together? Well, tonight, we're thrilled to welcome Florence Ann Romano. She is a personal growth strategist, a philanthropist, and author of Build Your Village, A Guide to Finding Joy and Community in Every Stage of Your Life. All right, so she has over 15 years as a child care provider and a career dedicated to supporting families. She earned the title the Windy City Nanny, and we're going to find out what that's all about. So big welcome to you, Florence. Thanks for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be here. Happy, happy New Year. What a great way to start it.
Yes, it definitely is. So what is this Windy City Nanny business?
I got to tell you, I can't even take credit for it. A friend of mine referred to me that way after my years in child care, and I hail from Chicago, and they said, well, you're like the Windy City Nanny, kind of like a Mary Poppins visual in your head.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Floating through the skies of Chicago. So that's where the Windy City Nanny came from.
Oh, God. All right. Well, sorry. So your work is all about answering a very timeless question. What does it mean to have a village? And how do we create one?
It's so funny. I've heard people for years bemoan the fact, you know, this village that people talk about. Well, where is this village? Do people just show up at your front door with a casserole ready to help you raise your kids? Or is there a phone number to call? Right.
People there is something to that.
Right. Where is this village everybody's talking about? And so I started really thinking about that truly during COVID because everybody knew on this global level what it felt like to lose your support system.
Absolutely.
And who can say that we know on a global level how people are feeling? That's a very rare experience. And so during COVID, I started thinking about that proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. And I said, you know what, we need to just kind of cut that in half because it doesn't just take a village to raise a child. It takes a village, period, for anyone in life to find community, to find your people, to survive life, to thrive in life. It takes people. We were meant for people, as they say. And so that's really what led me to write the book that you alluded to before, Build Your Village. I wanted to give, finally, a roadmap to building community.
So this is a very interesting topic to me because I moved about 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, but one of the things that I wrote down a list of what I really wanted, because I've been a little bit of a nomad in my life and kind of bebopped around a bit. So I wanted to make sure this last time that I moved that one of the things that I wanted was a community. And I have that. There's no doubt about it. I had an operation this last January, and I couldn't drive for 6 weeks, and it was really remarkable, and everybody in the neighborhood was fairly new because a new development, and literally every other day someone was coming over with a casserole, with this, with that, homemade soup, to the point where one of my neighbors fortunately had an extra refrigerator in her garage, and so it put the extra food in there. And it was really, it was great. I mean, people would, you know, call and check in and visit, and another neighbor walked the dog every day. And I mean, it was really, it really truly was great. So I really experienced firsthand what it was like to really have a community. And I do think that there's so much information out there that people are healthier when they have a community. That being said, all right, that being said, right?
That's all wonderful and all beautiful. I do agree. Yes, yes, yes.
But I also feel like it's then after everyone sort of settled down into the new development and like I said, everybody had new homes. So it wasn't just me. So we all kind of moved in pretty much at the same time. And then there was like all this like Uber, tons of like activity every week. And, you know, there'd be lunches, there'd be, you know, going on this beach trip, there'd be this boat trip, there would be the, you know, all this stuff. And what I noticed with myself was I started feeling like this incredible obligation that I always had to be part of it. And then what also happened is I noticed we would all be chatting and everybody was kind of feeling like that. So it's interesting that yes, community is a great thing, but you also really have to have boundaries when you're that close.
Oh gosh, I mean boundaries, that's the name of the game. They say what Webster Dictionary said this year's or 2014, we're in a different year now. So 2024's word was polarizing. But I also feel like boundaries could have been that word too, because we hear that thrown around so much, and I think it's a word that's needed certainly, but people use it, and the definition of it, I believe, is subjective in some cases, though it shouldn't be, but and to some people it is. And the reason I say that is I heard someone say once that boundaries was actually the person who's placing those boundaries fighting for the relationship. And I loved the visual of that, fighting for the relationship, because it's true. If you didn't care about the person or the situation, then you wouldn't be establishing those boundaries. You wouldn't be trying, mm-hmm. in other words. So
right.
When you're talking about boundaries in these communities and these villages and these relationships that you have, that is you still fighting for those relationships and figuring out how to make it the healthiest for everyone. It isn't just for you. But when it comes to our social calendars, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think people tend to equate the busyness of the social calendar with the fulfillment of a person. And I truly do not believe that people who have these outrageously busy schedules are all that necessarily fulfilled.
Right.
And that actually can lead to even more loneliness.
Yep.
More isolation, if you
yep.
can believe it.
I can.
Some
yep.
of the loneliest, right? Some of the loneliest people I know are the busiest. So
yep.
it really comes down to figuring out how you're spending your time and with whom, and also the quantity of that time.
Right. All right. Well, we're not going to talk about boundaries just yet, because that's not really what your book is about. Your book is about building a village and finding joy and community at every stage of life. So I don't want to be being like Debbie Downer. It's like, yeah, well, don't have them get too close. comment just on one thing is that, you know, when they're playing Mahjong one day, going to the pool the next, this and that, I don't know, but you know something, I mean, my work is obviously, it's a, you know, I'm talking all the time and I'm with people. So, you know, I love my time.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when COVID hit, I remember thinking, this is cool. I'll do yoga right on my TV, and you know, but after a couple of weeks, I was like, oh, what's this? But anyway, all right, so enough about that, enough about boundaries and COVID. Let's find out. You say there are six type of villagers and why each role is essential to building a strong support system. So let's go to it. Let's find out. Or wait a minute, let me ask Quinn, my producer. Do we have time? We got 2 minutes. All right, should we take a break now?
Well, I can give you 2 minutes. Let me give you a snapshot of what we're going to talk about after the break.
Okay,
because
good.
This is what I want you to think about.
Okay.
There are six. I'm going to say them quickly, and there's a reason I'm going to. I'll explain that on the other side. So the six that I developed of villagers in the book are accepting, dependable, cheerleader, communicator, organizer, and healer. And the reason I say it fast like that is because automatically, and this is what I want people to do, automatically, just by the context of what I'm saying, those words are going to trigger a visual for you. They're going to trigger what your definition perhaps is of those six words. And that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to start casting people in those roles just based on hearing those words alone. And on the other side of the break, we'll talk about what my definitions are of those roles.
That's fascinating, because as you said that, I was putting certain people into those roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really kind of funny.
Right.
Although there was one who was the organizer, who was actually my neighbor. She's an organizer, but she's also a healer, you know, because she's an acupuncturist, and she's always, you know, if someone wants to talk, they'll go to her house and she'll listen. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but that, yeah, I thought about different people, but I also, it doesn't have to be in that specific community from which you live either, right? You're not talking, I mean,
Exactly. And there's so many ways we're going to skin this onion. And what you were just doing as you were starting to put people in those positions, that's what I want you to do. We're going to cast it like a movie or a play. It's a lot of fun when you start doing it.
All right. Do you know who's in your village and who might be missing? When we come back, Florence is going to share with us how to identify your villagers and what to do when you're feeling isolated. So don't touch that dial.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and let me reintroduce my guest, Florence Ann Romano. She is a personal growth strategist, philanthropist, and author known for her expertise in fostering community and personal connections. She's written the book, Build Your Village, A Guide to Finding Joy in Community in Every Stage of Life.
basically, this is redefining what it means to have a support system, providing tools to create lasting and meaningful relationships. Florence's vibrant career has included appearances on, get this, over 500 media outlets. I don't think she's old enough for that, but that's what she tells us. Anyway, including ABC, CBS, NBC, and The Jenny McCarthy Show. She also serves on Sesame Street's Leadership Council and the boards of several philanthropic organizations. Welcome back, Florence.
So kind.
That was my intern's work. That was my intern's work. That was a biggie. She did a good job, but I couldn't get it all out. All right.
Oh, God, well, no, you're too kind. Thank you. This is such a fun conversation to have, and I really think it's an important one to have also, too, at the beginning of a new year.
I do, too. All right, so before the break, we talked about the six types of, well, you talked, then mentioned the types of villagers, but let's talk now about the roles in each one in building a strong support system.
Well, and why I did what I did before the break, and you did exactly what my intention always is that you start casting those roles, because that's really what the village looks like. It's our own movie. It's our own play, and these are our main characters. And people tend to think that change in village is a bad thing. And that's the only thing I can honestly guarantee anyone out there, right? That's the only thing I can guarantee, anyone can guarantee you, is that change is going to happen in life. And that's going to happen in your friendships and your relationships, too.
Absolutely.
So regarding these six villagers, and I'll go through what my definitions are, you know, at a high level. Obviously, in the book, I go into a lot more detail per chapter. But let's start with the accepting villager. I like to think of this one as the non-judgmental one. This is the person you're going to confide in. You're going to tell your problems to, maybe confess a secret. The dependable one is your emergency contact. I always joke and say it's the person that's going to actually answer their phone, because, like, no one does that anymore, answers their phone. I do. I do answer my phone. So I think I'm probably about 17 people's emergency contact for their kids at school because they know I'll answer my phone. So then the cheerleader, this is the one that inspires. But instead of just, you know, the rah, rah, you know, you can do it, this is probably someone you're going to go to when you're making a life change, when you need someone to show up for you in a moment of transition. Then the communicator, they have your best interest in mind. They're curious and even tempered, capable of seeing other perspectives. That's a big one. In the world today, I don't know if we feel that we do that all that well anymore.
Right.
They're the person that doesn't turn the heat up on the stove. They put a lid on it. Mm. Next, the organizer. It's the person you can delegate to. It's the person that's going to give you peace of mind to be able to release that control. And then finally, the healer. This is the person that walks next to you through it, whatever the it is in life. But this is an important caveat to that. Mm-hmm. This person doesn't fix you or fix the situation. They are there to walk next to you through it, be consciously compassionate in it. And that's very important for us to remember, that no one, no relationship we have, friendship or otherwise, that we have, we look to those people to fix us. It's more important to walk next to us. And so those are the six.
Wow. Well, let's see. As you were saying it, I was thinking about my neighbor directly to my right. I mean, she and her husband are like there in a moment, and 9 times out of 10, if I have to, you know, looking for like an emergency, can you let the dog out or whatever else, they're there, right? Or I need a ride to, you know, whatever, get my car fixed or whatever it is. And then the woman who's directly across the street now, it's funny, she's accepting, I thought of her immediately, she's the, you know, the accepting one for sure, but, you know, she actually kind of, she is very accepting, very nice, but she actually very much keeps to herself. So when I think of someone who's accepting, I don't necessarily think of someone that I would, I don't know. I mean, it's just hard to say, you know, it's food for thought for sure. I mean, thinking about all this, it's like, wow, you know.
But you know that these villagers permeate one another, and you're going to see people that have a lot of these characteristics, of course. But also a few important notes about these villagers. The first thing I want to say is, if you heard me say that and you said, "Oh my gosh, I only have three of the six," I'm not telling you that if you don't have these people, and remember, you could maybe have 10 accepting villagers, 6 organizers, 1 healer. The quantity, the volume of those people is going to change. But if you're sitting there saying, gosh, I only have 3 of the 6, my question to you is going to be, but do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel supported? And if you say to me, yes, then great. Then right now, in this season of your life, you don't need those other people that are quote-unquote missing. But maybe there is going to be a time in your life where you are going to need that healer. And think about the things that happen in our life, unexpected loss, whether it's a divorce or a death, or you're moving to a new city and starting all over again and don't know a soul. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, you may need villagers that you've never needed before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the actual people who are quote-unquote in my village, my 2 most important people in my life don't live, well, one lives near me. That's a very dear friend. But my best friend, we live probably 75 miles away. But, I mean, we talk almost every single day.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I mean, and she certainly is accepting. She's certainly not so much a cheerleader. I would not put her in that category because I think there's a piece of her, God love her, but I do think there's a piece of her that, like, sometimes when I'm growing a little bit, is this part of her that, like, I think she likes me to sort of stay where I am. And I see that. I know
her.
That. It's like, okay, that's
you.
Cool. I get
right.
it. You know, she is who she is. You know what I mean? Like, you have to also accept people for who they are. You know, and she's got so many other beautiful qualities. So it's like, okay. But I also know that, you know, if I'm wanting a really, you know, sort of step out of my comfort zone and do something because I'm much more that way than she is, she might not be the person I'm going to really talk so much to about that. And she's still, I would consider, my best friend, you know. So I think I think there's a lot of food to marinate on here for sure. When you thinking about moving, like if someone decides that they're going to move out of state, like take that big chance, you know, and they don't know a soul. That can be pretty, I would think something like that would be super, I don't know that I could do that. That's a little scary.
It is. I don't think a lot of people could do it. You know, there are things that are in our control and out of our control, certainly in life, and it's all about our response to that. But when it comes to these villagers, and like you were saying, that your best friend doesn't necessarily have all of the qualities that we're talking about here. You're friends with people for different reasons, and again, different seasons, too, as they say. But what's important to also note is if you're doing this evaluation of your current social ecosystem, as I would say, and you think, okay, well, for some reason, I'm still not feeling fulfilled. I'm feeling depleted. I'm feeling exhausted. I'm not getting the support that I need from these relationships, but I really love these people. What is wrong here? Well, perhaps the issue is that you have the right people in your life, but sitting in the wrong seats. Maybe you need to recast them. Perhaps you're trying to set up, let's call her Jane. You're trying to set Jane up to be your cheerleader. But Jane is not capable of that. That's not her skill set. Jane is better being the accepting villager or the communicator. Think about whether or not you are setting the people up for your life for success in terms of what you need in those friendships. You may need to recast. You may need to put them into different roles, or you may need to fire them altogether. I mean, that's just the truth. Let's say the quiet part out loud. Sometimes it might be like, it's time to get rid of this friendship. It's not serving me. But the other piece to it that's important to this, too, is it's not just me, what do I need? I'm also asking you in this work to look at who you are and how you show up for other people.
Well, I did think it was interesting that you did not mention the entertainer. Because I started to think to myself, what am I, you know? And I have different roles, but I do think I have a lot of the entertainer in me.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And I'm sure
I've got to. What, this is my job, right? I mean, so, but I was thinking about, like, wait, but she didn't say anything about being an entertainer. Oh, God. I'm so that I start beating myself up. Oh, I'm so superficial.
No, it's not superficial at all. You know, it's funny. The way that we perceive ourselves and the way others look at us, you know, sometimes those things connect and sometimes they don't. And what's so hysterical about doing the work in this book was one of my best friends read it, and he has a digital company, and he asked his staff if they thought of these six who he was, and they were like, I don't think you're any of these people. And I started laughing, and I was like, that's a terrible thing to say to you. But, you know, he was cracking up about it. But when I was sitting with a group of my girlfriends, they were each telling me who I am of these six to them. And I am not the same six to all of those women. Some women see me as the dependable. Some women see me as the healer. It depends on my relationship with them. But isn't that a really neat perspective to get from people to find out what you mean to them? Because it's not the same across the board.
I'm kind of a psychologist to a lot of them now that I think of it.
You know what? The entertainer generally is. Can I tell you that? I'd like to think I have a little bit of the entertainment in me with my friendships, too. But, you know, we also live in a world today where mental health, emotional well-being, it's part of the conversation now in a bigger way. And women, especially, sisterhood, we tend to have those deeper conversations.
Oh, for sure.
We tend to want to use our friends in that way of, you know, for mental health purposes, and that's a big reason that we have those relationships. Mm-hmm. But some people are easier to go to and have those conversations than other. That's really the accepting villager. Your accepting villager is probably going to be the one that you would say, quote unquote, you know, you go to for your therapy if you're not going to an actual clinician, because that person usually doesn't have a whole lot of judgment attached to them. You know, judgment in terms of discernment, yes. Judgment, not in terms of something that is going to be discriminatory.
Okay. All right. Thinking about all of this. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, Florence will reveal how fostering empathy and safe spaces can strengthen any relationship. Stay tuned. More to come.
Don't touch that dial. More of The Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am talking to the author of Build Your Village, A Guide to Finding Joy and Community in Every Stage of Your Life. Florence, welcome back to you.
Thank you. This has been such a joyful and also animated conversation, which, and I think I may have to make an addendum to my book now because you suggested entertainer, and I really love it.
So this is interesting. The importance of your village, the value of community. That's her very first chapter. And I love Helen Keller. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. I just love that. So now in this next segment, I want to talk a little deeper here about fostering empathy and safe spaces for, you know, when there's issues in a relationship and mm-hmm. getting into a little bit of that. So I'm going to give you the floor and I want you to go for it.
Okay, let it rip. Here we go.
Let it rip, exactly.
You know, the safe spaces, you know, we heard that term several years ago, and I, you know, there's parts of it that I like about a safe space. I like the visual of that, certainly, but then I also think that sometimes that can lead us to feeling a little bit too sheltered, so to say. Mm-hmm. And so a safe space for yourself mentally or physically, of course, that's important, but what I really mean by that, in terms of my book at least, is figuring out what relationships, and we talked a little bit about this before the break, what relationships are good for you, what relationships perhaps are toxic, what relationships need attention in order to perhaps find the strength between the two of you, whatever it is that's going on in that relationship, how to make it stronger, how to make it work better for both of you. But the empathy piece of that comes into the safe space conversation, when we are faced with having conversations with people that are perhaps going to have the potential of being heated, or we already know the content of that conversation is going to be sensitive or fragile, we need to think about what is the result that we're looking for? What is the goal that we have? Right. And that's how I approach conversations with people that might be a little dicey. Is I think about the personality that person has that's going to be on the receiving end of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think, all right, how does this person process? How does this person like to be communicated with in order to understand if they are capable of that? And I try to back in to that conversation with that goal in mind, but also taking into account the person themselves and how they're going to receive the information. More often than not, if you think about that before having the conversation with that person, you're probably going to have a successful conversation, even if you have to agree to disagree at the end. But the conversation itself probably is going to be more fruitful, more productive, and probably more respectful. And so that's my biggest piece of advice when it comes to communication with conscious compassion. Now, maybe you don't know that person well enough to know how they process or their personality enough to say, I can go in, you know, with my armor fully set. But if you're going to have a difficult conversation with someone, again, think about the goal right. and how to get there. Mm-hmm. Generally, coming in with your sword up in the air is not going to help your cause.
Right.
So I'm asking people to be a little bit more thoughtful and intentional.
Mm-hmm. You talk a little bit about leveraging non a verbal communication. What do you mean by that?
Well, the verbal communication, again, using your words, you can say what you mean and not say it mean, I always like to say. You're choosing your words carefully. I think that's where we get into trouble, where we don't think about what we're going to say or what we're going to do. And I understand things can't be helped in the heat of the moment. But what's wrong with us taking a step back and saying, I'm not ready to have this conversation just yet. I don't know how to respond to this just yet. I need a minute. I need to walk away from it. That's what leveraging your communication is figuring out how to actually make it beneficial to both parties and also protect yourself from saying something that you could regret.
Exactly. How can creating a quote-unquote village help when navigating these disagreements?
Well, your village is going to be built of a lot of different people and a lot of different personalities, and that's a great thing. We don't want to be friends with everyone that's just the same as us. But in having different experiences with different people, it hopefully makes you a more empathetic person. I like to say I never want to condemn the hard things, the challenging things, even the heartbreaking things, the hurtful things, the cruel things that have happened to me in life. Because hopefully what it's done is made my empathy meter shoot up even higher because I can relate to more people.
Sure.
And so if you can change that framing in your mind of what it looks like to experience these hard things and turn that mess into your messages, as they say, then that's going to make your village larger and expand again the relatability factor that you have. And that's going to help you also figure out how to create room in your life for different types of friendships that maybe you didn't know you needed.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about friendships, you know, I remember this was a long, long time ago, but I kind of never forgot it. I was watching Oprah, and the topic of the show was called Friend Shifts. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Friends Shifting. Mm-hmm. And do you know who Brianna Weist is, or Weist?
Yes. Oh, gosh, I love her. I follow her on social media. I love her.
Yeah, I love her, too. And I forget what particular book, because I listen to her books online, on tape. I forget which one it was, but she talks about, you know, if you're ending some relationships, it seems like more than usual, this might be a time where instead of looking at, like, what's wrong with you, rather, maybe you're growing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there was a time in my life that it seemed like there was a year where I was just like, I felt like I was bumping off people. You know, I mean, literally, I felt like, God, I've ended a lot of relationships. Yeah, not a lot, but they were like three in a year. And I felt like, wow. But you know, now, years later, when I look back, I really did need to end those relationships. One, I hated the way I ended it because it was just, I like blurted it all out. I was just like, you know, up to my head in like aggravation, whatever. But by the third one, I really was really liking the way I ended it. I didn't play a lot of like, you know, oh, like I've just been really busy and, you know, it's just, you know, and she was saying, well, you know, you haven't answered my texts and, you know, and I feel like you're not responding to me because it's kind of hard to respond to someone when you're feeling, and we had already had a conversation about things that were really bothering me and that I was feeling like I can't live with in a friendship. And, you know, so that very last text, I do remember, and I remember it well, and I just responded with, yes, I know, and I'm sorry. And, you know, I liked the way I ended that because I wasn't going to get into a conversation again. We had already visited, you know, these are things that are really bothering me, like really bugging, you know, that are really I'm having a hard time dealing with. And we hadn't been friends for that long either. What I'm saying is that I think that sometimes we can let somebody in and then realize afterwards, this is not a good friendship for me. And I think, you know, there's actually something to learn. I don't know if in your book you even mentioned this here, but I think there's something to be said for knowing how to, as best one can. I mean, you're going to hurt someone no matter what. If you end a relationship, their ego is going to be hurt, and you know it's not a happy time, obviously.
Right.
But you know, I do think it's important to from time to time, if your a friendship is making you uncomfortable, to address that. And if you can't get it resolved, then you have to end it, just like you would if you were in a partnership with, in a relationship, a romantic relationship, that sometimes they don't work out, and sometimes I remember this was like a zillion years ago, but I remember going out on this date with this guy, and I remember thinking how strange it was that he said to me that he had every friend he's ever had since the beginning of time, since he was born, every single friend he ever had is still his friend. And I did not look at that as something that was beneficial. And I looked at that with the fact that, you know, at 45 years old, he was still living with his mother. And I decided this is going to be our first and last date.
Well, yeah. All I needed to hear was that. No kidding.
But I thought that was, but I do think that there are times when it's just that someone needs to be, left, at the dock there and say, I don't want you in my village. And, I don't know, maybe that's cold, but,
it's not cold at all for just, the truth is we grow, life changes. And even in my friendships today, even some of my most precious friendships, I have seen those dynamics shift.
Instead of
fighting it, there's a college girlfriend, when she lives in Texas now, but she and I, when she lived here, when she first had kids, very close. I helped her with everything. We talked all the time. And since she moved, we really don't talk too much anymore. And she's found a different village out there, and thank God she did, because she needed to start over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very difficult for her, and now she's found those people, and I'm so happy she has. And when she kind of pulled away from me a bit more, I realized that it was actually a positive thing, because that meant she was finding her people there, and she needed to have both feet on the ground, planted, rooted, anchored, whichever way you want to look at it. And it did not mean that I was not of value to her and that we still don't have a very precious relationship and have mm-hmm. all this history, from all those years ago in college. But it just means that our need for one another has changed. And it does not, again, devalue it, but our friendship has shifted. The dynamic has changed. And instead of us fighting that, yep. I think we both have accepted it and realized as soon as we accepted it, everything was okay. But us fighting it is what was causing, I think, issues in our friendship in the past year or so. We kept thinking there was something wrong with us and that our friendship was no longer important. And so I want to challenge people to do that work as well when you reflect on all of this. Are you fighting something that is making it harder to preserve and have those relationships? Are you making something harder than it needs to be? If you just accept it and you let it, perhaps the natural will take over and you'll realize that what it is, the natural state of it, is actually what it's supposed to be. It was the evolution, and you're just accepting in that reality. And so, again, we could go back to the opposite side of that coin, though, which is some of those relationships do need to end. Some of those relationships are toxic, have run its course, or sometimes there's no big crescendo moment. Sometimes those people just fade out of our lives.
And exactly.
There's never a big moment or a big goodbye or, a big betrayal or something like that. It just kind of effortlessly just dissolves. And that's okay, too.
Yeah. And all that being said, a village is a fabulous thing, but like you said at the beginning of the show, nobody can make you, you have to have it inside of you. It's an inside job to be happy. People can certainly, we're in relation to people And I think that's important, and it really helps us to grow. But at the same time, we really need, he's giving me the we need to take a break. But we really do need to know that our true happiness or love for ourselves does need to be there, and that people can be an enhancement. And certainly it's very important. But with all that being said, I don't want all our listeners to feel like they have to put ads out there everywhere. I need new friends. Everybody, I want new friends. But you've also got to be a friend to yourself. Anyway, all right. We are coming into our last segment. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, more to come. Stay with us here.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I've got this little go-to guide for anyone who's ever feeling disconnected. The name of the book is called Build Your Village, and that's what we're discussing tonight, a guide to finding joy and community in every stage of life. And my wonderful and exciting and entertaining guest is Florence Ann Romano. Big welcome to you. Thanks for joining us.
It's been so fun. It's coming to an end. So
I know. I know. And even Quinn doesn't usually tell me when we're in the last segment how much time we have left, but he pops in to say, we've got 8 minutes.
Quinn, thank you for keeping us on track. So he's a very important villager as well. Quinn, you have your role.
He does have his role. He's wonderful. All right. So there are some questions that I do think are important that we cover before we say goodnight. In your book, you highlight ways to connect with others beyond shared opinions. So can you share a key takeaway for building lasting bonds despite differences?
Well, I always say that the number one option that we have, and what I think is also a game changer for relationship building, is philanthropy. When you feel like you are disconnected, when you feel like you don't have the right people in your life, or you don't know how to put yourself out there because you're so worried about rejection. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you take out ads in the paper, you know, I need some friends, or, you know, whatever it might be. And how do you actually go out there and meet new people? And philanthropy is the answer. Not only are you going to serve in a way that makes your heart flutter, the way that makes your heart beat, you're also going to meet people that are like-minded, not just in terms of, you know, political opinions or religious, whatever it might be. You're going to be in a room with people that want to serve the same organization or purpose as you. And that's going to give you something that's already relatable. That's mm-hmm. going to give you somewhere to go. Yep. You're going to have people that have those shared values, and you're not going to be putting yourself in a situation where there's a high risk of rejection. You're already there together doing something, again, for the greater good, and it takes the risk out of it for you. And hopefully, not only do you do good in this world, but you also are going to form relationships with people that are probably people worth pouring into, pardon me. Mm-hmm. And so that is my first step for people out there who are feeling isolated or disconnected, or at least looking to change it up a bit. Start doing some research about things that mean something to you and get involved.
That sounds like a great thing to do. You also, I wanted to ask you that you have included tools in this book, and listeners, a great book. Now, when you go on your winter vacation and you're on that plane, it's a great book to, it's a small little book, you can throw it in your bag, and by the end of the flight, you probably have read the whole thing. So you included tools like gut check questions in your book.
So
let's talk about that a little bit.
At the end of each chapter, I have gut checks and action steps. And the reason I did this is because we've all been there. We've read those personal growth books, self-help, and you read it and you're like, I'm not going to do any of this. This is so hard. This is going to take me years to do. And I did not want my book to be like that. I wanted you to read it and think, you know what? I could do this today. I can take this step today. This I can do. This is an easy lift. And so the gut checks and action steps at the end of each chapter, the gut checks are, what did I learn? What am I processing right now after reading this? And the action steps are things you can do today in this moment to take a step in the direction to create goals for yourself based on that chapter. It's snackable content. It's digestible. It is not something that you're going to feel is too big of a lift. And when it is like that, that's what stops us from really changing. That's what stops us from evolving or learning, is when we feel it's unattainable.
Absolutely. What advice from your book would you give to someone looking to maybe rebuild a strained relationship or a friendship?
It depends on how much water is under the bridge, I always say. And forgiveness, I've heard said once, and I really like this definition, forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could be any different. And if that is your definition of forgiveness, then forgiveness should be attainable to you.
But again,
that water that's under the bridge, you're going to have to figure out whether or not it's just too much. And if the hurdle is too large. And you also have to remember that sometimes repairing a relationship is going to take more than one attempt.
You know, that's interesting. I just want to, before we go on to that a little bit, giving up hope. Because, you know, I always think about, like, that word forgiveness. It's like, it almost seems like a, you know, it's a funny kind of, like, people don't have a good explanation for really how to forgive, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear, well, you know, if you forgive, that's better for you. It's not taking up real estate in your head. But giving up hope is something really kind of different. Isn't it? Like, yeah, they're not going to change. This is who they are. And I've never heard that before. So that's really very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, giving up hope that the past could be any different. And I think the way they framed that, and I mean, I think it was actually Oprah, actually, now we brought up Oprah before. I think this was years ago in Oprah, where maybe she said it or someone else, one of her guests did. And that was an interesting reframing of forgiveness for me. Because, yes, like you said, taking up real estate in your head. But if you know that you can't change what happens, is it easier for you to forgive it? But then here's the add-on to it. Because for me, I have a very hard time. Not everyone deserves forgiveness. I'll be the first one to say it. Not everybody does. But if that is your definition of forgiveness, giving up the hope that the past could be any different, you can't change it. But you can change whether or not that person has access to you. Forgiveness doesn't equal access. If you've heard that before, I also agree with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is for you. And if that's to help you move on, help you heal. But the access to you, that's something in your control. And that goes back to your original question of a strained relationship and whether or not it is repairable. There are a lot of factors that go into repairing that relationship.
Absolutely.
And again, like I said,
got
to see who, you know, if it is worth repairing and what you're missing from it, and also whether or not both parties can agree to what the rules are going to be going forward.
Absolutely.
For that relationship.
Well, you'll have to forgive me, but we have to stop. But this has been just such a blast. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Yes, so fun.
Yeah, so listeners, if you miss part of the show, you're going to want to go over to my Apple podcast page and listen there. You can also listen on Spotify. Florence, again, thank you so much for being on the show. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. So joyful. Happy, happy New Year.
Same to you. All right, we need to wrap things up and say goodnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.
Agora tá chorando pelo que perdeu.